Today, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, is where we'll be reading from today. And I would pray, not only encourage you to pray for our veterans today, but every day, and keep that in mind as they serve, and pray for our military as they serve around the world, and praise the Lord for their faithfulness and dedication, hard work, and we thank the Lord for that. Today's message I'm going to take in John's Gospel, in John's Gospel chapter 8. I just simply titled the message today, Freedom. And freedom. And we think about freedom. I know today we focus on veterans and our military and our nation, and we have, I think, the greatest fighting military anywhere in the world. And it's been interesting to watch our president travel this week overseas and going to different parts around Vietnam, China, and that part of the world, and to see, I don't know about you, but it's always proud to be able to be an American, and to see God's hand upon all that's going on. I'd ask you to continue to pray for those, and to realize that freedom, you know, freedom when you think about in the military and the world, there's been so many wars fought, and you think about freedom, freedom is just simply being not under the control of some other person or some arbitrary power, able to act or think without compulsion or arbitrary restriction. And so, I don't know about you, but I think we should never take for granted the freedoms that we have. The freedom to be able to come and go, the freedom of the press, the freedom of worship, the freedom of religion, the freedom of all the things that we enjoy in our economic system and all the things in America. I'll tell you what, if you get a chance to travel outside of the United States, and then come back in. I don't know about you, but any time I've ever done that and then returned to America, and I always kind of feel like I should get down and kiss the ground and praise the Lord for the United States, the U.S. of A., and because God has blessed this great country and this nation and the freedoms, and we should never take that lightly. But I want to go even one step farther, not only in relation to the military. I think there's also many people that live under the bondage of sin. And the Bible talks about that right here in John chapter 8, and by the fact that we need to have freedom from sin. And the Bible talks about that here in John chapter 8. And it's a horrible thing not to have freedom. It's a horrible thing to live anywhere in the world and not to be a free people. But it's also even, I think, even much more worse and much more difficult and much more horrible to be able to live and to go through life and to be bound by sin and have the fetters and the chains of sin around us and not to be able to be free from that and to be able to enjoy the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and the liberties that we have in Jesus Christ. That's why I was interested to see some of the men that were saved, even in the military. And I've had the privilege to know some men that it was in the military that they came to know Christ as their personal Savior, and it enriched their lives and made that experience much more rewarding and much more fulfilling. But let's look at this text of Scripture here, if you will, in the Bible, in John chapter 8, and kind of pick up the reading with me here, if you will, in verse 1, and with the idea in mind that we're talking about freedom now, freedom from sin, freedom and having forgiveness of our sin and knowing how that Christ can set us free and that we have liberty in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 1, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. Boy, this is hard medicine right here. He says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first, or let him first cast a stone at her. And again stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone. and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, several things we're going to read on in a few more verses here, but several things going on here, this key that Jesus says as he comes. It's quite common in that day. A person caught in adultery was brought in and really publicly shamed, and even had an Old Testament law that they then were to cast stones and caught in the very act of adultery and was to slay that person. And so it's interesting how Jesus took this text and simply says here, he that is without sin, the person is without sin, let him pick up that first stone and cast that at that woman. But he simply says here where's thine accusers? And no man condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee. And I find it interesting, he tells her then, there's no one here to condemn you, there's no one here to throw stones, but you're forgiven of your sin. Go and sin no more. You are free to put your faith in Jesus Christ and go. And it's important to understand that when you and I are saved and come to Christ and are born again and saved by the blood of Christ, and he sets us free and redeems us and forgives us of our sin and cleanses us of our sin, that we are then at liberty in Christ and allowed to be set free and allowed to go our own way, but we are to go and sin no more. We're not to drag that sin around. We're not to continue on in sin, but we are forgiven of that sin, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Well, look what he goes on to say here in verse 12. And then spake Jesus again unto them. And he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore saith unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, Jesus says. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father, God the Father, that sent me, beareth witness of me. And then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury, and as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, which would be earthly. Ye are from beneath. I am from above, heavenly. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world, Jesus said. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith to him, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, which will be his Father. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Notice in verse 32, a key text here. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You might circle that word free, freedom in Christ, liberty in Christ. And it comes through forgiveness of our sin. It comes from the standpoint of go thy way and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven and washed under the blood of Christ. You are now free in Christ. You're now set at liberty in Christ. In verse 33, they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall make me free? And Jesus answered them, Verily I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We're going to stop reading right there in John chapter 8, but in this text there's a lot of things going on here that is so interesting about sin and about the sin nature. It's very clear and evident the Bible is teaching that there's none righteous, no, not one, and that we're all sinners, and that we've all fallen short and come short of the glory of God. And so we find here's this woman caught in adultery. And as their custom was, as she's brought before them and has to give an account, and a very public thing, caught even, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery. And so immediately they began to pick up stones and began to judge and be willing to look at her as being cast upon. And so they were ready to cast stones and under Old Testament law to kill this woman. And I love very subtly and very wise how Jesus separated this out. He said, okay, you that are without sin and you have no sin in your life, you cast the first stone. And none could do that. They all looked within their own conscience. They all looked within their own heart and realized that we all have sin and that we ought never to sit in judgment and we ought never to pass judgment to the next person and we ought never to reach down and take that stone and be willing to cast that at somebody else's sin. I don't know about you, friend, but every time I see that, every time I run into it, I always think of this, whether it be adultery or whether it be murder or whether it be whatever sin you want to take in the Bible. But by the grace of God, there go I. But by the grace of God, and if you think about it, we need to realize here that God has the ability to forgive our sin. And I love what he says here, that once you're forgiven, once you're redeemed, once your sin is forgiven and it's washed under the blood of Christ, you're to go your own way and sin no more. Your sin has been forgiven. God has forgiven your sin, washed it away by the blood of Christ, as far as the east is from the west, never to remember that anymore. And he says, go and go your own way and start fresh. You are now free in Christ. You've been given a new lease on life. You've been given a new opportunity. You now have liberty in Jesus Christ to go your way. You've now been given a new chance. Go your way. Don't sin anymore. And that was, and oftentimes you even see in our society, sometimes you run into people, they'll want forgiveness, they'll want repent, but they'll somehow want to drag that sin around. Jesus said, no, go your way and sin no more. I love what he says here as you get into this and to realize, and he really brings out the emphasis here on freedom. He says, you shall know the truth, and once you know the truth of Jesus Christ, ye shall then be saved and converted to Christ. Your sins are forgiven, no matter what you've done. Every once in a while in life, I'll run into somebody who'll say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how debauchery and how wicked and how sinful in my life is. You don't know how wicked my thoughts are. There's no way that God can save me. I said, my friend, I don't want to know your thoughts. I don't want to know your sin. Only thing I know is this. There is no sin too great or no wickedness so evil that God cannot reach down and forgive that and heal that. No matter how evil our mind is and our heart is, God has the ability to forgive that and to cleanse us through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can take the most wicked, the most vile, the most evil, the most corrupt in all the world, and God has the ability to regenerate that person and to save them. And he says you can be free from your sin. And not only that, he says here, if you know the truth, and the truth is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, he can forgive your sin, and you are now made free. And he goes on but you notice here he also said in verse 34, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But I tell you what, sin has a way of getting a death hold, a death strangle on us, and sometimes we don't have the ability within ourselves to break free of that. We can't let go of that. Whatever the sin is, you can pick any sin you want, and sin, service sin, and it binds us, it holds us, it constrains us, it hangs on to us. But if you genuinely want to get rid of that and repent of that sin and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you, he'll make you a new creation in Christ Jesus and put this mind in you which is in Christ. So important to have forgiveness of our sin and to realize that we can be set free. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I don't know about you, but I think it's a great thing to be able to have the liberties in Christ, freedom in Christ, the joy in serving Christ. Yes, today is Veterans Day. Yes, today we focus on those that have founded our country and set this structure in place and then offered us freedom. But that freedom has come with a huge price. Freedom is not really free. We already know that. And you know, when you think about the independence of declaration that was signed back in 1776, it really freed America from Great Britain. And that declaration announced that the 13 American colonies then at war with Great Britain were now independent states, and thus no longer a part of the British Empire. Written by Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration, Independence Declaration, is a formal explanation of why Congress had voted on July 2nd to declare independence from Great Britain more than a year after the outbreak of the American Revolutionary War. So you think about the birthday of the United States. We celebrate it on July 4th as a day the wording of the Declaration was approved by Congress. But when you think about freedom, we have fought, as we all know in American history, wars down through the years to have our freedom. I think about, if you go back even to the beginning of the American Revolutionary War, was fought over freedom. You go to the War of 1812. If you remember back in your school days of going through history class, the War of 1812 was fought over freedom. The Mexican-American War in 1846 to 1848 was fought over freedom. The American Civil War was fought over freedom in 1861 to 1865. The Spanish-American War was fought over freedom. World War I with Germany, Austria, and Hungary was fought over freedom. You think about World War II with Japan, Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania was fought over freedom. The Korean War was fought over freedom. The Vietnam War was fought over freedom. The Persian Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. If you look back at the history of America, all of our wars have been fought that we, the American people, would be free and to have that freedom and that liberty. And so when you think about that, Jesus Christ and our liberty in Christ has forgiven us of our sin, that once we're saved, once we're regenerated by the power of God and the blood of Christ, we've been given liberty in Christ. He says, go your way and sin no more. So I think it's come, if you think about freedom here, it's really all fought for freedom or to protect freedom. You know, it's interesting. Some of you have been to New York Harbor. And so located in New York Harbor is the Statue of Liberty, which is officially titled Liberty Enlightening the World. Liberty Enlightening the World. And so that monument was presented by the people of France to the United States in 1886 to celebrate America's centennial. It welcomes visitors from all over the world, immigrants from all over the world, and returning Americans, returning back to America, coming in by ship. So yes, our doors. Now you also find and realize too that with all that's gone on and all the immigration, America has been great in allowing people to come in, and that's what has made America great, is all the immigration coming in into this world, into America, to make it what it is today. It commemorates, if you think about that, when you look at the Statue of Liberty, the Declaration of our independence. And again, the liberty is the freedom or release from slavery or imprisonment or captivity or any other form of arbitrary control. America today is a free nation. And in Christ, as believers in Christ, because of what Jesus did here in John chapter 8, you and I have liberty and we have freedom in Christ that comes only through the blood atonement and knowing Jesus Christ and knowing God the Father. You know, you think about, you know, let me show you something. Go over to Acts chapter 22. Freedom is... one thing we should never take for granted. You find this, I was reading here the other day about Paul over in Acts 22, and you get down to, you know, Paul was a Roman citizen. And when you get down to this part here in the text in the book of Acts in chapter 22, look at it in verse 25. He's really taken prisoner here. And it says, and as they bound him, Paul, with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion in verse 25 that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed that thou doest, for this man is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. The chief captain answered, and with a great sum, notice this now, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, I was born free. And then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid. And after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him, and on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty of wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought down Paul and set them before them. And then Paul, in chapter 23, goes before the Sanhedrin. What was important to see, Roman citizenship was officially not for sale, but could sometimes be obtained by bribing certain officials and government. And well, when you think about it, our freedom has been bought and paid for with American blood, generation after generation. If you think about the eternal life that has been bought with God's blood, and when we think about this thing on freedom, it has always been bought with blood. God has required the blood sacrifice on Calvary for you and I to have liberty in Christ and to enjoy the freedoms that we have in Christ, and what a great privilege that is. But it's also, too, an American history that has been bought and sacrificed and given for blood as a sacrifice down through these years. Paul said this over in Romans chapter 5, that all men without exception bear the guilt of sin and are therefore subject to death. And so the many who die must refer to all of Adam's descendants more. And Christ's one act of redemption, Christ's one obedience to God the Father, was immeasurably greater than all of Adam's one act of condemnation. So through Adam, we find in Romans 5:12 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that death is passed on the whole human race. You know, I don't know about you, but I think death is ugly. And it's horrible. Matter of fact, this week, by way of prayer request, let me just share with you, pray for Charlie Bagwell. Charlie is on his deathbed as we speak, waiting to go to heaven. And one of our dear members and faithful servant of the Lord here for so many years, I don't know how many years they've been coming to church here, but Charlie recently found out that he has cancer, either in the pancreas or liver. They didn't want to run all the tests, to put him all through that, decided no treatment plan with where he's at in life. Just make me comfortable, let me die. That was his choice. And that was the advanced medical directories. That's what the family's doing. But it's hard every day to have a family, two sons and a daughter, and Claydine that goes in either to a Heartland or to a St. Mary's Hospital or somewhere and watch a relative of yours prepare himself to die. And like I said, I've been a pastor now for 45 years, and I've watched this, and it's kind of like I can just kind of sense or see or know or aware of the death angel moving in the room and preparing to take another life. I noticed that this week up at St. Joe Hospital. Charlie now has lost 50 pounds. And I've watched him just go down day after day, week after week, since the decision was made. Just waiting on the Lord. And I've talked with him. I said, Charlie, are you ready? I said, you know you're saved, right? He said, oh, absolutely. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take my last breath. I just want it to be over so I can translate onto heaven. So in the meantime, you got to wait. And it's getting close. So when you think about death, death is very ugly. Christ's one act of redemption was immeasurably greater than Adam's one act of condemnation. And through Adam's one act of condemnation, therefore, death passed upon the whole human race. There's not one of us in here that can do anything to escape the avenue of death. I wish we could. I don't care how much you prepare for it. I don't care how much you work on it, how much you're ready to go. Death is always ugly, and when the death angel moves in, when it hits your family, your relatives, your immediate, it's difficult to go through. It stings. The Bible talks about that over in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death, and it stings and it hurts. There are many in here. We just had a widower's luncheon in our church, and we have about 45 widows and widowers in our church family. And we just all gathered together over in the gym and had a meal together and talked, shared some things together. And what a fun time that was. But they have all gone through of losing a spouse. You think about what Paul said over in Romans 6, having been set free from sin, we become servants to righteousness. And in human terms, infirmity or weakness in your flesh, Paul uses the master-slave analogy as an accommodation to the humanist and then the difficulty in gasping or grasping divine truth. So your members, he says, are more lawlessness like vicious animals. Sin's appetite only grows when it's fed. Therefore, it's important that when our sin is forgiven, it's washed away and cleansed. Don't keep feeding that sin. Don't keep feeding whatever it is that is. If you have a weakness or a proponent toward one area of sin in your life, by all means, ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and move away from that and stay away from that and move in a different direction. And so we find here in the Bible, it's interesting that verse 21 of Romans 6, that fruit here means benefit. And what benefit do you have by living in sin? The end is death. When you think about it, every time I stand at the bedside of somebody that's waiting to pass, somebody that's waiting to take their last breath, I sit there and I think about this right here, what Paul said in Romans. As a result of sin, and therefore sin in Romans 5:12, death passed upon the whole human race. It's a result of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and therefore has passed upon the whole human race. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. We can have forgiveness. This woman here in John chapter 8 could have forgiveness. She can have forgiveness of her sin. She can be cleansed. She can be made whole. She can be made free. She can be made at liberty in Christ. All she's got to do is ask Christ and trust him and believe in him. And then Jesus simply says, go your way, and then sin no more. So Romans 8:2, that the law of the Spirit of Christ, of the life of Christ Jesus, makes you and I free from the law of sin and death. And Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7:22, that we become free in Christ. We have liberty in Christ to be able to serve Him and to be faithful to Him. God has always been about freedom. Always. Freedom from the bondage of sin. And is all you have to do is to trust Him, and He breaks those bonds, and He breaks those addictions, and whatever the addiction is, whatever the trial is, whatever the stronghold is, no matter how strong it might be, whether it be drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it is of sin, sin is very powerful. And in the flesh, you and I cannot conquer that. You cannot have victory over that. You got to be able to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and have forgiveness and cleansing and have liberty and be set free in Christ. And what a great joy it is when somebody comes and says, I want to be saved. I want to turn over my heart to Christ, and I want to be set free and have liberty in Christ, and I want to be released from this bondage of sin and be a free man in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul talks about here. You know, America is great because she has always stood for that which is right and good at home and around the world. And the day America ceases to do right and do good, she will cease to be great. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. In recent days, I think America has begun to teeter, or whatever you want to call it, a little bit. I think we have some sins lying on our doorstep, and that verse that Brother Ron sang about, 2 Chronicles 7:14, is so true. Talks about there, we got to confess our sin first, individually, to have liberty and have freedom in Christ. We also, as a nation, must ask forgiveness of our sin and cleanse it and make things right and ask for God's blessings and God's healing. He's not going to heal the land if we first don't ask forgiveness of our sin. And there's a lot of sin that lies at our doorstep. And so we have a responsibility to preserve that which was handed down to us for, what, 200 plus years ago. To stand for that which is right. To stand for that which is good. And to spread freedom around the world. And that's why we honor veterans on Veterans Day. They have stood for freedom around the world. They have stood for that which is right around the world. They have stood for that which is good around the world. And to be able to stand against all the evil and wickedness wherever it may crop up. My wife and I, last night, we were watching the History Channel, and it was talking about our soldiers that had gone and served in Afghanistan and Iraq. And you may be seeing some of this, and where they were showing clips of how our men and women in uniform and some of the missions that they went on, and they kind of took you and walked you on those missions that they went on, and just the danger, the risk, every one of them knows when they go through that training and they suit up and prepare and ship to a combat zone, they're willing to lay down and give the ultimate sacrifice, their very life. That's huge. I don't know if we in America, if we really comprehend and understand, that is huge. And you see that. And so God, and to stand up against the evils and the wickedness, there are people out there in parts of the world that want to destroy freedom. They want to destroy all the value system that we believe in and that we stand for, and what America has always stood for. And so the evils of the world, you know, anytime you see this stuff come up, you know, we saw it in Las Vegas. We've seen it down in Texas here just the other day, coming in and an evil situation where a man unloaded on a congregation, 26 people dead. Not only that, children, little children. What a tragedy. And just so our congregation knows, I, as a senior pastor, we have a security team here. And we have people here that have police and law enforcement backgrounds. We have people here in our own church that you would never know it on a given Sunday, but they're watching everything coming and going. They're watching everything on the parking lot. They're able to secure the building. They have plans in place in the event something should ever happen. And so I thank God for our security team. And many times you wouldn't even know who these people are. They come in, they worship, but they work together in harmony to try to make sure. It's a different world that we live in. We live in a very evil and wicked and violent, corrupt world out there. It's not the same as it was 50 years ago. So when you think about it here, to stand against the evil and wickedness and may it, wherever it crops up, God always stands for that which is right. God always stands for that which is good. God always stands for that, always stands against that which is evil. And God always stands against that which is corrupt. And God always stands against that which is wicked. And so I don't know about you, but I choose to stand with God. These veterans have chose to stand with God and to realize that the greatest above all, He is the greatest above all, and there is none other. And so when you stand with America, the greatest country in the world, there's no better place to live except maybe heaven. Acts 22 and 28, Paul said, "With great sum obtained I this freedom," talking about here in this, but he says, "I was born free." And so you got to choose today. And will you choose the God that we love today and that Paul's talking about here? And he's obtained and really bought and paid for and given his very life. John 8 makes that very clear, that Jesus came to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to offer freedom to all who will come and accept it. Not everybody accepts freedom. Not everybody accepts liberty. Same way, not everybody chooses to accept Christ. Not everybody chooses to accept the Lord Jesus and salvation and forgiveness of sin and to realize, like the woman did here in John chapter 8, to come and, "Where's your accusers?" And she asked forgiveness and, "Go your way and sin no more." There will always be evil in the world until one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, comes, and He'll come one of these days soon. And that should be our prayer. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, as time goes on, we need to be prepared. And I thank God today that we can choose. We can choose to trust God. We can choose to trust Christ. We can choose to have that freedom. We can choose to have that liberty. But don't ever take it for granted, my friend, because that was bought with a great price. And to have that is all you got to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your belief, put your trust and belief and faith in Him. Freedom, it's a great thing. It's like Leo Thorsis told me several years ago when he and I were together. He said, "You know what? Freedom's a great thing until you don't have it. Then you realize, you know, and you got to appreciate it and don't take it for granted, and because you never know." And you say, "Well, will America always be great?" Well, I don't know. It's a different America that we're living in today than it was 25 years ago and 50 years. But it's still, I think, me personally, the greatest country in the world. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. And I don't know about you, but when I see the Stars and Stripes and God Bless America and all that goes on, the value system and the principles for which we are founded on, I don't know about you, but I'll take my choice and I'll stand with the red, white, and blue and thank God for the victories and the liberty and the freedoms that we have in Christ. Thank God we still have the freedoms to preach the gospel. Thank God we still have the freedoms to proclaim the gospel and send it around the world and to reach out and to be able to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in this evil and this corrupt generation today. And that's made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ and the liberties that He gives us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today it's a message from John chapter 8. And God, You made it very clear in here there can be forgiveness of our sin and we can come to Christ and to realize that no matter what the sin is, no matter how difficult, no matter how dark, no matter how dreary and it is in our life, God, that You can forgive us and You can cleanse us. So God, I would pray today if there is one here that needs to have forgiveness of their sin, they need to come and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, that they would do that today and put their faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone for that freedom and for that liberty of being set free and being set free from the bondage of sin. Oh, God, today call men and women to Jesus Christ for salvation. And then, God, today may we never take for granted the freedom, not only that we have in Christ, but the freedom that we have in America. And so, God, we surrender all this to You today. Just ask that You would, the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and draw us into obedience to your will for our life, both for salvation and whatever is in our hearts today, God, that we would settle that with You. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let's stand together if you will.